time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now, here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 9 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm Alyssa Barnes, your host, and I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest today. You may actually already know who she is if you happen to be one of the 70,000 plus followers that she has on Facebook. Amberly Snyder is your typical college rodeo girl. She's just getting ready to graduate, and she loves competing, loves rodeo. She's an awesome barrel racer. The only difference between her and all the other girls out there competing is that when she's not in the saddle, she actually gets around in a wheelchair. I'll let Amberly tell you all about her story in just a moment. Before we do that, I just want to say thank you so much for being here, for listening, for providing great feedback, ratings, and reviews on iTunes. The reason I do this podcast and the reason I have put so much time and effort into the Earn Your Spurs website is for you guys, and I really appreciate your support. That being said, I just want to add real quick that the National Finals Rodeo is less than 2 months away, and I am going to be down there the first weekend. I believe it's December 4th through the 7th. Right now, I'm looking to put together a little meetup down in Vegas so I can get to know a few of you that are listening to the podcast and checking out the website, just to put names to faces and say hello and thank you for your support. Right now, I'm looking at possibly doing something at the NFR Experience at the Convention Center. So for those of you who are going to be in Las Vegas for the NFR, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email or find me on Facebook or Twitter and just let me know what your plans are, and hopefully we can put something together. Without further ado, let's hear from the amazing and incredible Amberly Snyder.
I am so excited to introduce you to my guest today. This beautiful blonde rodeo gal has been cleaning up in the arena for her college rodeo team at Utah State University and on the amateur rodeo circuit as well. She competes in both the barrel racing and the breakaway roping, is the captain of her college team, and is pursuing a career in motivational speaking. Oh, and did I mention her main mode of transportation besides her horses is a wheelchair? Amberly, thank you so much for taking time to come on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to talk to you. You have such an amazing story, and I know it's just so inspiring for a lot of people that hear it. So can you tell the listeners just kind of how you first got involved in rodeo and then give us the backstory leading up to where you are today?
Okay, so I was born in California, and my dad, he was a Major League Baseball player, and my mom, she had horses when she was younger, but she didn't compete in rodeo. And when I was just super little, my mom saw that I had an interest in horses, and she just thought she was going to just capture it. So from there, when I was 3 years old, I was able to start riding. We found a place in California that would teach riding lessons to a 3-year-old, and I fell in love with it. Well, when I was 7, my dad said, hey, we're going to move to Utah. And I told my dad, I said, okay, the only way that I'm going to move to Utah is if you buy me a Palomino barrel horse when we get there. So my dad said, okay, that's what we'll do. And he followed through. When we got to Utah, he bought me a Palomino barrel horse, and I was able to start competing. I mean, from the very first time that I was in that rodeo arena, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the fact that I was on my horse, fell in love with the speed, the competitive nature, all of it. It was just something that I knew I was going to want to do for the rest of my life. So then since then, I've been competing in rodeo.
That's awesome. So what do you think it was that first made you really fall in love with it?
I think, for one, you know, the horses, anything to do with horses, I absolutely love doing. So that was a huge part. And then in my family, we're all pretty competitive. My older sister does gymnastics. My brothers do baseball. I compete in rodeo. And then, with the background with my dad, it was definitely like, if you're going to do something, you've got to really be dedicated and you really ought to be good at it. So with rodeo, it was something that I had a knack for from the beginning, that I think that made a huge, like a huge difference for how much I loved it, because I knew I could be good at it. And I don't know. I mean, just from the beginning, it was something that I always wanted to do. And once I started it, I was kind of addicted to it.
Yeah, I'm sure I didn't know that your dad was a professional baseball player, but I'm sure having him as a dad really helped to instill that competitive nature in you too.
Oh yeah, definitely made an influence. I mean, like I said, you know, in my dad's perspective, if you're going to do something, you probably better be good at it. So when I knew I was going to be good at rodeo, then that helped me with knowing that I really did love it.
And so you rodeoed all through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a pretty life-altering experience happen to you.
Yeah, so I had a pretty successful career, I guess you could say, you know, through junior rodeos and junior high and then up into high school. It was in 2009 that when I was on top of the rodeo world for me, I made it to the high school finals. I qualified here in Utah, which is pretty tough here to make it to the high school finals.
Yeah.
And then the week after that finals, I was at the Little Britches finals in Colorado and came home with the finals and world all around title in the girls division. So to come home with that, it was like, I felt like I was on top of the world because I came home with those two saddles, those two titles, and then I was top six in three of my four events. So, I mean, I felt like at that point, like all my hard work had paid off through growing up. This is when I was 18. Well, it was kind of crazy because like I look at it now and I think, you know what, like I'm glad I got to have that experience. I'm glad I got to have that payoff because, you know, now in the situation that I'm in, it definitely, it's cool to look back and be like, you know what, I did know what it feels like to be on the top and I know that's where I want to get again. But it was in January of 2010 that my life definitely took a change that I was not expecting. It was then that I was offered a job in Denver, Colorado at the stock show and had started my drive. I left Logan, Utah at about 4:30 that morning to start my drive. And at about 10 o'clock, I was going through Sinclair, Wyoming, and I looked down to check my map. When I looked up, I'd faded over a lane and was heading towards a mile marker on the side of the road. I grabbed my wheel to correct my truck, and it just sent me sliding across the road. I mean, at that point, I'm thinking, okay, if I can just keep my truck from rolling, I'll be okay. And I grabbed my wheel with both hands and tried to bring my truck back straight. And there was a moment when I thought, okay, I've got this under control. I'm going to be able to do this. And right then, the dirt caught my back right tire on my truck and pulled me completely sideways. So at 75 miles an hour, my truck is picking up off the ground to start rolling. And I mean, there was nothing I could do about it. I mean, I was thinking I was going to die right there and I didn't know what else to do. So I closed my eyes and I could just hear the banging and crashing of my truck going on all around me. And I felt myself pick up and leave through my truck window. At 70 miles an hour, I hit a fence post on the side of the road. I folded around it and carried it another 20 feet with the fence, which is what broke my back. So, I mean, through that whole thing, I wasn't knocked out. I remember all of it. And so it was kind of crazy to wake up, you know, well, not wake up, but open up my eyes on the side of this freeway and see what my truck looked like and see everything that I had in my truck. I mean, I look at it now and I think, oh my gosh, it was seriously like looking at the pieces of my life and I couldn't even move to pick them up.
Mm.
So at that point, all I did was wait. I just had to wait until somebody came.
Wow. And who did actually come?
So it was between 5 and 10 minutes later that the first person came that got there. I was just sitting there waiting because I knew I couldn't move. And while I was sitting there, I had done like a self-evaluation, I guess. I realized I was thinking okay. And I landed sitting in the snow with my feet out in front of me. So I looked down at my hands and I could move my fingers on both of my hands. Well, I next looked down to my toes and tried to move them and nothing happened. At that point, it was crazy because I was sitting in this snowbank on the side of the freeway, yet I felt like I was in warm water from the waist down. And I figured something was really wrong, you know, that I couldn't feel anything. I was just numb from the waist down. It just felt like it was warm. And I started pinching and rubbing at my legs and there was nothing. So when that first person got there, he asked what happened. He came over and he said, what happened? And I said, Well, my truck is over there. I'm over here. You know, I rolled my truck. I was ejected. And he said, are you okay? And I said, I don't know. I can't feel my legs. Well, he got on the phone with, you know, with 911 and made the call. And the second person got there and I asked him if he could get a blanket out of my truck. I knew I had one in there. I said, I mean, I don't feel cold, but I've got to be going into shock. So he did that. And the third person got there and she actually, on her way over, I asked her if she had a phone because I felt like I needed to call somebody. And she found my phone on the way there. So I was serving as state FFA president at the time here in Utah. And when she found my phone, I sent a text out to some family, friends, and my officers. And I said, I got in a car wreck. I rolled my truck. I broke my back. I'm going to have to go into surgery. Pray for my legs. Mm. And that was it. You know, that they got all that. That was all they got about what had happened. So fast forwarding, I loaded in the ambulance, taken to Rawlins, Wyoming. And that's where they told me, you know, what you would call the news. A doctor walked in. And I don't even think he was talking to me, but he started talking about being paralyzed. And I said, wait a minute, what are the chances of me feeling or moving my legs again? And he said, slim to none, but more than none. And then left the room.
Wow. What were you feeling in that moment?
I just thought, there's no way. There is no way that he just said that. That is even possible. Like, I mean, I've got to serve as state president still, so how am I going to do that? I've got to ride my horses. I'm going to still be rodeoing. Like, how can he say that that's what's going to happen? So I just didn't even accept it. Like, I just didn't even look at it as a real thing. It was, yeah, he said it, but to me, it wasn't what was really, you know, it wasn't real.
And after that, was that when you had your surgery or series of surgeries?
Yeah, so I was loaded in a Life Flight helicopter and taken to Casper, Wyoming, which is where I got my surgery. I went through 5 hours of surgery and left me with 2 rods and 14 screws in my back. And that's where I spent my first 10 days. My first 10 days after my wreck was spent in Casper. And it was kind of crazy because they put me as a complete injury to start with. So they said I had no chance of regaining anything ever again. Well, 2 days after surgery, I hadn't cried up to this point. I completely handled it. I felt like if I'd been in my truck, I'd be in a worse off situation. So I hadn't cried. Well, 2 days after surgery, a paramedic comes to my hospital room and he says, if you'd had your seatbelt on, you'd have your legs. I had taken my seatbelt off less than 10 minutes before I wrecked. I'd had it on all morning and had just barely taken it off and was just switching CDs and was grabbing a drink out of my back seat. And, you know, I just thought, I wear it all the time. And when he left, I turned to my mom and I broke down and cried. And I said, my one mistake has cost me my legs. My one mistake has cost me my life. I say, I wear my seatbelt all the time. And this one time has now cost me this. And she said, it's going to be okay. And I was so frustrated because I said, how can you tell me that? You know, mom, how can you look at me in the face and say that it's going to be okay? You heard what the paramedics say. You heard what the doctors have said. And at that point, she reached over on my leg and touched it, and I felt it. And 2 days after that, they moved me to an incomplete injury and said, you know, whatever you get back is great. So since then, I've regained sensation to a little bit below my knees and can move a few muscles, but not a ton yet.
Well, that's amazing. Have you been in physical therapy ever since then?
So I did physical therapy for the first little bit. It was actually kind of crazy. So 10 days after my surgery, I was flown to Utah. And my nurse walks in the very first day and she says, okay, Amberlee, we've got to set some goals. Like, we need to just set some goals of, you know, what you want to do while you're here. You know, let's do something. And I said, oh, easy. I said, my goals, walk, ride, rodeo. That's all I want to do. I said, I don't need to learn anything else. I don't care about anything else. That, those are my goals. And she, I'll never forget the look on her face. Like, she just gave me this look like, girl, you have no idea how hard this is about to be. And she was right. I definitely didn't. I definitely had no idea how hard it was going to be. And certainly wasn't long before I figured that out. And I, you know, made smaller goals to get to my bigger ones. But I was in the hospital for 6 weeks, which really isn't that long. A lot of people are there for a lot longer, but I didn't have any other injuries besides my broken back. I didn't have any traumatic brain injury. I didn't have any internal damage. I didn't have anything else. So I was able to go through therapy pretty quick. They felt like I was independent enough to go home after those six weeks. But I continued to do outpatient therapy through that summer. And I do therapy on my own now since I'm at school.
Mm-hmm. And I read something that said you convinced your doctors and your parents to let you bring your saddle to therapy.
Yes, I did. I kept telling them because my balance, it's still probably the biggest challenge that I have. And so I kept telling them, let me bring my saddle in. I said, my balance is better in my saddle than it was anywhere else. I said, even when I was walking, my balance was better there than anywhere else. And finally they said, okay, you know what? Bring your saddle in. Like, if that's what you really think, then bring your saddle in. And we brought it in, and I sat in that saddle, and I was right. You know, my balance was better there than anywhere else they put me in therapy.
So you said that therapy was really hard. What were some of the challenges that you went through? And, I mean, to see where you were and where you've come from there, obviously you've made huge strides, but I'm sure you had some setbacks and frustrations along the way. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's more than even just a physical challenge. You know, it's mental, it's emotional, it's everything that makes recovery or therapy or anything hard. And I mean, there was days that I like to work at therapy. I loved it. I would have them come and get me. I would be the last person of the day so that I could do a little bit longer. I could be doing therapy a little bit longer because they didn't have to go get somebody else. Well, some of the things that were hard is that, you know, they told me, I said, okay, I ride horses. When am I going to be able to get on a horse again? And they said, you know, you're probably going to need to find another pastime. You're going to need to find something else. And I was just like, no, you don't understand. Like, it's not like something that I can just stop doing. I mean, I would tell them, you know, that riding horses, it's not what I do. It's a part of who I am. And so I'm not just going to stop that. But that was one of those hard days. Or another hard day was when I told them, I asked them when I could drive again. And they said, well, what did you drive before? And I said, I drove a truck. And they said, well, you're probably going to need to get a car. It's going to be really hard for you to get into a truck. And I went up to my mom that day of therapy and I said, Mom, if I can't drive a truck, how am I going to pull a trailer? I said, I'm a truck girl. We've always drove trucks. And from that day of therapy, I would spend time every day in therapy, lifting weights and doing whatever I needed so that I could get into a truck. But the physical side of it is it's completely different. You no longer can move your legs, so you have to move them with your hands. So you're overexerting yourself with your hands and your arms all the time because you're trying to make up for both. And then balance is an everyday challenge. I mean, still to this day, balance is easily one of the biggest difficulties that I face all the time. It's completely different. Whether I'm on my horse or off my horse, that is always the biggest challenge. And so physically, that was really difficult. And then I mean, how tired you get, it happens a lot faster than it did before. And trying to just figure out how to move yourself with your arms all the time without falling over or without being too tired. It's stuff like that that definitely, you know, you don't expect to happen. Nothing like this you expect to happen. But then therapy can be tricky when it comes to that stuff too.
Yeah. So at the time when you were first going through therapy, if you could have chosen between being able to walk again and being able to ride again, what would you have picked?
I still to this day say if I had to be in a wheelchair except for when I was with my horses, I would be totally content. If it got to, you know, I could catch my horse, saddle my horse, or, you know, get on my horse and ride with my legs, but then when I got back off and put my horse away, then I had to get back in my wheelchair, I'd be okay.
Well, that speaks a lot to, I mean, the the depth of your passion, I guess, for your horses and for competing. I know that your Wheelchair Wednesday series on Facebook has been really, really popular. What made you decide to share those experiences?
So those ones are kind of funny. I would get asked by people quite often, how do you do things with your wheelchair? You know, how do you capture horses? How do you saddle your horses? How do you get your horses in the trailer? I was just getting asked those questions all the time. And so I finally just thought, okay, this would not only be good for those who are in wheelchairs, but this would also be good for those who are not. Just to almost get like a perspective, a different perspective on what it's like to be in a wheelchair, you know, what just daily challenges that we go through. So I don't know. I was just sitting in my house one day and I was like, okay, what can I do? How can I put these videos together? It's got to be catchy, you know? And I thought, okay, they have, you know, Woman Crush Wednesday and Man Crush Monday and Throwback Thursday. I thought, okay, they have all of those things. So, well, wheelchair starts with a W, Wednesday starts with a W. Let's just do a Wheelchair Wednesday. And that was honestly how it started. I asked on my fan page on Facebook, I just asked them, hey, would you guys be interested if I did these Wheelchair Wednesdays every week? And they all loved the idea, so I started doing them.
Well, I think they're really awesome. I mean, I watched several of them. And for some, you know, we all of us as humans, we complain about stuff. And then we see videos like yours where you're in a wheelchair and you can still accomplish these amazing things. And it's like, well, what do I have to complain about? I mean, she's doing awesome things in a wheelchair.
Well, and I try to tell people, like, I don't mean to do that all the time. Like, I just want people to realize, hey, you know what? Like, if you put hard work and time and thought into anything, you know, what can't you do? And that's
exactly,
you know, that's exactly what I want to share with people is that, hey, you know, you are capable of more than you think. So if you're willing to put in the time, I mean, what can't you do?
Right. That's very true. Looking at everything you have accomplished, it's amazing. And you're certainly a testament to that. So throughout this whole experience, is there anything surprising that you've learned about yourself or even those around you?
It was interesting at first. There's good things and then there's not so good things. So when I was in the hospital and people wanted to come and visit to begin with, I thought, okay, that'd be great. You know, people are coming to the hospital to make me feel better. Well, it was within the very first visit that somebody had that I realized, no, they're coming to visit so that I can make them feel better, so that I can show them that I'm okay with the situation so they can be okay with the situation.
Mm.
And I feel like it's kind of like that still sometimes, even with people that I don't know, you know, because I don't know. I guess as a society, sometimes we don't know how to treat people in wheelchairs. We don't know how to act around them. And so I feel like it's kind of my responsibility to be like, hey, you know, we're everyday normal people and you can treat us just the same. We're going to be able to do everything. It might be different, but we can still do things just how everyone else is doing. And that part has been an eye opener for sure, is how different people can act or look at you or treat you because of the situation. And sometimes it's for the good and other times it's for the, you know, the not as good way that it can happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the most part, like I try everywhere I go to be like, I don't know, overly welcoming and make people feel okay so that they, whether that means that they're going to be nice to me, but hopefully even to the next time they run into somebody in a wheelchair that they are open-minded and really a lot more accepting.
Well, you seem to have a really positive, upbeat personality, so I'm sure that helps.
I hope so. I really do. Because I know what it's like when some people look at you and just completely have no idea how to act or sometimes aren't as nice because they feel like, who knows? Who knows why they're not actually, to be honest? I don't even know why. But sometimes they're just not as nice.
Right. Well, it seems like you have a really amazing support system between your friends and family. How integral has that been in allowing you to remain so positive and to keep doing all these things that you love so much?
That has been a huge part for sure. I have an amazing family. I mean, everyone says I have the greatest family, but I mean, mine is the greatest because you know, they've gone through this situation, and I mean, just, we've all just handled it. We've all just kept going and realized that life is different, but that doesn't mean, you know, none of them put limits on me. None of them said, okay, Amberly, this isn't what you're going to be able to do. It's just, hey, let's figure it out so you can do it with us. And to have a family that's like that is amazing. And then I have friends that are the same way. It's been interesting because I've had some friends that I don't really hang out with anymore. They don't want to be around, I guess, the wheelchair. But other friends who've completely embraced it and are totally, I mean, it's still me, so they're totally fine with it. But between those people and then the Lord really has made a huge difference in just my strength of being able to get up every day. There are definitely days that I wake up and it's kind of crazy. When I dream at night, I never dream that I'm in a wheelchair. And so sometimes I wake up and for a split second, I'll forget. And I'll look over and my wheelchair will be sitting next to my bed and it just hits me, you know, like a ton of bricks, like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, this is my reality. And it's hard. You know, there's some days that I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do this today. And between my friends, my family and the Lord, I mean, I can get up out of bed every single day and keep moving forward.
That's huge. It's wonderful that you have such a great support system. So just going back to rodeo for a second, other than the obvious challenges that you have, what has changed for you, you know, competing now as compared to competing before?
Well, off my horse is a challenge because I can do everything by myself now. So I can saddle, I can bridle, I can do all those things. It's definitely more convenient sometimes to have the help though. So I usually have somebody that's helping me with that and have somebody throw me on. So off my horse, that's what's different is that, I mean, I have like a crew or one person, I call them, you know, my crew that comes and helps me get on. And then when I get on, gosh, it's a completely different appreciation, I think, because now when I get on, I mean, I can turn and look and I'm leaving my wheelchair at the trailer. I'm leaving that part of my life there. And I'm able to just be on my horse and get to do what I want to do, just like everybody else there. And that part I love. Now, there are definitely frustrations when I can't kick my horse or move my horse over like I wanted to. Those are frustrating moments where sometimes I'll go into a barrel pattern and, you know, I really wish I could bump my horse over and we'll hit the barrel or something like that. But, hey, everyone faces those too. But that is a challenge that I have.
Yeah, I've actually thought about that because, you know, I've ridden a lot and I know how important it is for me to be able to use my legs. And you obviously have an awesome barrel horse to be able to do what you've done without using your legs.
Yeah, he's pretty special. I actually got him as a 3-year-old before my wreck and trained him to run barrels. And man, he tested my patience. He has an attention span of a goldfish. So when I was like trying to train him to run barrels, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. This horse is not going to figure this out. And I mean, my mom and the lady that taught me how to barrel race, they both are like, no, be patient with him. He's going to be nice. He's going to be nice. And I thought, I don't even know if this horse's brain can handle it. Like, but I kept going. And now I look at it and that horse is a huge blessing. I mean, really probably one of the biggest reasons that I'm able to still compete is because of him. I mean, that horse, when I told people that I was going to get on him, they were offering me their horses to not get on that horse. He's hot. Yeah, he was a typical barrel horse for sure. He was kind of hot. And I thought, no, like, I mean, he's my barrel horse. I'm going to get on him. It's going to be fine. And the very first day we went out to catch him, somebody had to catch him from the field and then brought him in. And I said, hey, I'm going to lead him up to the trailer. And he put his head down and just walked behind my wheelchair all the way to the trailer. Oh. I mean, it was just like, he knew that something was different, but that was fine with him. He just knew that his job was to take care of me. And that's honestly how he's been the whole time, is that horse just takes care of me. Now, don't get me wrong. He has horse moments. Like, he has put me out of my chair a time or two. And when he's just had his ADHD moments, like he does, for sure, he has those attention span moments that he forgets. And then the second when something doesn't go perfect, then he just stands there like, oh no, I was naughty. I definitely just did something wrong. He has a funny personality, like, oh man. Yeah, for other people, he won't put his head down and for them to put a bridle on him, but for me, he holds it down low.
Aww.
Like, he is funny. He's smart. He's a lot smarter than I thought he was, that's for sure.
That is awesome that you have such a good connection with him. I mean, that really is special.
Yeah, it's, I'm saying, like, he's a huge blessing as of for why I can still be competing now, because he's, I mean, he's just taking it upon himself to be good.
That's pretty cool. So I know you're going to school for a degree in education and counseling.
Yes, ma'am.
And so what are your future career plans?
So I am on my last semester of school, and I'm going to be a high school ag teacher, agriculture teacher. And I have one more semester of school, and then I student teach, and then I'm done with my bachelor's degree. And once I get done with that, then I plan to pursue a master's in school counseling. So, like, yeah, I'm going to be done, but in my mind, I'm not really done because I'm going to jump right into my master's. So I still have some school left to do.
Yeah.
And I also will plan on motivational speaking. So really, I'll get my degrees and then I'll motivational speak for, I don't know, as many years as I can before I jump into teaching and counseling.
Awesome. You've already been speaking quite a bit, right?
Yes, yes. I do already speak and absolutely love it, which is definitely why I'm going to try and do it as a career for as long as I can.
That's very cool. What kind of venues have you been speaking at so far?
I've spoke at like leadership conferences. I've spoke at a few rodeos. I've spoke at a few SSA events. Let's see what ones I have coming up. I spoke at the high school national finals. I flew over to Canada. I've got a Farm Bureau conference that I've got scheduled, school assemblies, anything like that is really where I've had experience speaking so far.
That's awesome. And I also read somewhere that you are making a movie.
Yes, the movie is, I signed a contract for a movie and it's just in the beginning stages. So we'll see when that one plays out. It'll probably be a little while, but yes, that is an eventual thing that should happen.
That's awesome. And you're going to actually be in the movie.
Well, I told him, like, I'm not going to be an actress by any means. No way. That is definitely probably not a skill that I have. But I did tell him that I wanted to be the stunt double for myself, because I feel like you can't have somebody whose legs work pretend that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that part I told them I do want to do, and they said, all right, I don't see why we couldn't do that. So no. I'll kind of be in it, but I definitely won't talk in it.
Who would you want to play you if you could pick?
Oh, I'm not sure yet. That one I'm still not sure. Hopefully somebody that rides well. That's my
thought. Yeah.
Rides well and has blonde hair like mine.
Yes, I would say those are two good qualities to have.
Yeah, so that's kind of, you know, I'm trying not to be too picky, but I am requesting that.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. I mean, you have such an inspiring story, and I'm just glad that you could come on and share it with us today. So if the listeners want to find you online, where is the best place to look you up?
I would look up my Facebook page. I think that pretty much everyone has a Facebook, and I would look up my Amberly Snyder fan page, and that's where you can follow my Wheelchair Wednesdays and my posts, and you can contact me on there. I answer and I read every message, so you can definitely get a hold of me on there. You can also get on my YouTube. I try to post my Wheelchair Wednesdays on there as well, so that you can find them there too, and Instagram and Twitter and all those social media. You can find me on all of those.
Very cool. Where are you heading next? Are you kind of in the midst of your college rodeo season, or?
Yep, college rodeo is right now. So I've got one more weekend of college rodeo for the fall, and then I've got a few speaking things that I'm doing through November. I'll actually go to Montana and up in Wyoming, and then what else do I got? A couple here in Utah. So I'll be around here, and that'll keep me busy through the fall. And then rodeo will start back up in the spring, which I mean, I'll ride in practice. I always feel like the off season is the time when I can try and catch up. Mm-hmm. So I'll be around, but I won't be competing as much through the winter.
Awesome. Well, I just have one final question for you today, and then we will wrap up. And that is, what do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy or cowgirl to have?
So if I had to name any one thing, it would be to be persevering. I think that every cowboy, cowgirl, or anybody else, really, we all have those obstacles that we're going to face. We're all going to have those challenges, but you've got to be persevering to overcome those and keep going and working towards what you want to accomplish. So I feel like that is an important thing, is to be able to constantly keep going and picking yourself up and never giving up, no matter what you face.
Mm. Definitely good advice for anyone, not just cowboys. Well, thank you so much again for being here today. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
And maybe we'll have you back sometime. See how you're doing.
Absolutely. That would be great.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Amberly Snyder. She just never ceases to amaze me. And when she talked about how she thinks that it's so important for people to have that persevering quality, well, she obviously takes that to heart, because I don't know anybody who's more perseverant than Amberly. Definitely check out her Facebook page if you haven't already, and her Wheelchair Wednesday videos. They're pretty amazing. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week.
For listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.